Good afternoon. Hope you're all comfortable. Nice to have the post-lunch slot. Everybody bright and perky. Discoverability is a word, I think, which has been bandied around quite a lot over the last 18 months or so, particularly with regard to ebooks. It's possibly slightly less of a journal's concern, but I think it's something which has the potential to make a very great difference to our business now and moving forward, possibly to transform our business, because we're in a market now where online information has grown increasingly complex and diverse, and there's more and more of it. And we as publishers are adding more and more to that pool all the time. For the end user, there is more choice of online information than there has ever been. But navigating to the right information, and from a publisher's point of view, the right information is our information, as opposed to anybody else's, is more difficult, potentially, than it has ever been. And creating routes to that information, to allow that information to be discoverable, has the potential to deliver a truly global audience in a way that we've never seen before in this business. So there is a great opportunity here, but there are a lot of challenges and bumps in the road along the way. And I think that what I'd like to do today is break down some of those challenges a little and look at the stepping stones, building blocks, to creating a discoverability strategy within the publishing business. I think that, as we all know, a print book, here is one of ours, you may have heard of, is a very discoverable item. It's got very set, understood channels to market. We know how it works. We know where it resides. We can go and buy it from a bricks and mortar store, from an e-tailer, and we know that we're going to get a unit of sale, a certain amount of content in it, packaged in a certain way. One of the most exciting things which is happening to this industry is that this packaged unit of sale, be it book or journal, I think, is going to be broken down. It will still be available to purchase in this form, but what we're going to be dealing with increasingly is going to be content. And that might be content at chapter level, content sold in subject areas, different pieces of different works for different reasons, allowing somebody to jump into precisely the piece of content they need for their application. And that's where we need to be. This book is also available as an OUP ebook, and the present OUP platform for it looks like this. It's there highlighted in orange, but it's not particularly easy to find, and it's becomes quite an amorphous object in amongst all the others. Here is a little known route to discoverability, and one which I suspect is bringing in more and more of our users, rather than going via the library OPAC, library federated search engines. More and more of them are using Google, and if you Google this title, this is what you get. The ebook that you've just seen is down here, which is not too badly positioned. There are some traditional bookshop shopping links just above it. There's an article from the Telegraph, which has done very well in the discoverability stakes, but the interesting one here is that one at the top, and it will very often be the case when you Google a book title that a certain online retailer you may have come across is at the top of the pile. Amazon has a fascinating approach to this, and whilst we are scholarly publishers, we can learn an awful lot about how to do discoverability of our own content from what Amazon has done as a major online retailer. These pages are a mass of metadata. If you go down the page, there's area after area after area, recommendations, reviews. The person who bought this book also bought that book. This person recommends that. There are immediate links at the top to other appropriate titles, and they have widgets attached to them. Pieces here. You can go in and open up and explore that book. You can't see all of it, but you can get a pretty good idea of what it is. Of course, they also have extremely competitive pricing, which helps. But this is a Web 2 approach to selling. This is a socially networked approach to selling content. And they're beating us. They're selling the old format. That's the irony. Amazon doesn't sell the ebook of this title. It's available through our platform only. But in discoverability stakes, they're ahead. And they are encouraging visitors to this page to add to the metadata, to comment, to review, and they're making that selling process even more effective than it was before. This is pretty impressive stuff, and it's well worth having a good trawl through this site to see exactly how they're managing it. Discoverability, I think, needs to be peeled back. And like all the strategic decisions we make in the publishing business, it needs to go right back to who the customer is. We have at OUP quite a pool of customers. They want different things from our product. We have doctors, we have researchers, we have students. They use our product in very different ways from each other. And we need to consider the tools we can put in place to enhance what they want to do with the product right from the word go, in order to make that product better fit for purpose and more discoverable. That's not to forget the supply chain, including the library, which actually is where the bulk of our sales sit. We don't tend to sell direct to the individual. And library sales particularly need to be handled absolutely right for this, so that libraries can integrate metadata into their search systems, into their discoverability mechanisms, and increase the usage of the content. And once we've got users in the content, and this is what I've referred to here as the research journey, it's putting the tools in place for them to navigate around it. And so the whole process becomes cyclical. More usage, greater usage across the content, better discoverability, more usage again, upsell potential across the range of what we offer. These are my sense of where discoverability is coming from at the moment. The channels to our content are probably being fought out between public search engines like Google, library search engines, which up until very recently have been federated search engines run by libraries or networks of libraries, to which we give metadata, we allow metadata to be harvested in order for those search engines to operate and search across our content. This space is becoming quite interesting at the moment. Players like Serial Solutions, Summon, very much more like a Google approach to this sort of searching. And it's interesting to see now in our different areas of our customer base, federated searching has been absolutely solid amongst academic librarians for a long, long time. They now want a more socially networked, more Google-orientated approach, and they're looking into Summon very seriously. Whereas the public libraries are now building federated search networks of the kind that we've been familiar with in the academic market for some time. Library portals and OPACs, libraries' own pages, being able to feed those properly as a publisher and make sure that the data is right, formatted in the right way, that it's available, that they can link with it, bringing people through that route. And then once they're on our platforms, enhancing the experience they have while they're with us, so they can navigate, they can link, they can work with references, they can cite content, they can move around without restriction. And I think that's a very important point. I think DRM is going to be mentioned rather later. But they can move without restriction within and across the site. Abstract indexing services, my sense of this is that these are becoming less important as time goes on. We're still feeding data to them, but some of the routes I've already talked about I think are going to take their place. And then we've got the whole spectrum of Web 2, which encompasses social bookmarking, sites like Konnatea, Delicious, Dig, social networking, Facebook, Twitter, etc., etc., all the blogs that are out there, amazing viral opportunity to bring people to our content if we get it right. And here's some of what we can do as publishers to exploit those channels fully. Search engine optimization. This is allowing search engines to crawl the content, to provide metadata structured in such a way that the search engine looks across the content and we go up the rankings. An interesting one here, and it's I did a seminar earlier in the year on business models, and I think an important emerging business model is free content. Be a little bit contentious, this one. If you really want to have a high Google ranking, you need a free layer. It could just be an abstract. Depending on the kind of material it is, you might need it to be a lot more than that. Because if you're competing with free content that's available on the web, you need to be able to put things in place which will allow you to compete as a business. There's metadata, which I've mentioned briefly, but to develop metadata which is compliant with industry standards such as Dublin Core, for instance, and to provide that metadata consistently across what you do, allow it to be harvested, and all those who work in journals are going to be very familiar with OAI PMH, for instance, so that search engines, federated search engines, can come in and lift that data out. Now, none of these things is rocket science or groundbreaking, but they're being applied very inconsistently across the business, and particularly for libraries. What that means is that there is an inconsistent approach to integrating with publisher sites, to bringing users into publisher sites, and the user experience within publishers' platforms and across them is very varied and uneven at the moment. I've mentioned metadata feeding already, getting metadata across on a regular basis to the bibliographic databases, to Bowker, to Nielsen. They are, again, traditional routes to market, but they can be exploited digitally. Here's one that crops up again and again, and I'm sure that Emma would agree that this is a big frustration for librarians. When MARC records are not available consistently, they're not available according to the formats that are being used, and there are various different MARC formats, Unimark, for instance, a couple that simply just exist in different parts of Europe. And if you're not compatible with a range of these and you've got most of your bases covered, a lot of libraries actually can't link their cataloguing systems up to your content properly. So you've got a fundamental disconnect between a sale that's being made, perhaps on a subscription basis, absolutely dependent on usage, and the usage which is actually going to happen, because those users are being shown a channel to the content by the library that they may not actually be able to realise because the cataloguing links aren't there. Digital object identifiers, another very important piece, something which always exists, points the way to that specific piece of content, whether it's an article or a chapter, whatever it happens to be, and that exists as a registered piece of code which exists in perpetuity. Unlike a URL, URLs change, content moves around, you risk the loss of data and the end of that user's particular journey. And there's been plenty around ISBNs, the assignment of ISBNs, getting EISBNs correctly assigned per format particularly, which I think is a very important thing for us to get right. ISBNs have been assigned by publishers, by distributors, third parties. It's very, very messy at the moment, and it makes it very difficult to sell books on that basis, particularly in world library cataloguing systems where the same book may appear dozens of times, and the ISBN relates back to who's selling the book, not actually to what the book is. It's not exactly the best way to go to market. Interoperability, I think, is one of the most important keywords here. Making the user experience when on the platform as seamless as it can possibly be. And there isn't enough time for me to delve into this, but there's a lot going on under the surface here. The ways in which content pieces can be linked together. Again, so that a user can navigate around, a user can experience so much more of what a platform has to offer. And there's an obvious upsell potential there. Somebody moves into an area in which they haven't bought a piece of content, and they're given all the routes to buy it or to suggest that their institution buys it. Reference and citation management being to download and manage citations, some of the leading providers of that there. CiteLike is an interesting one. It's much more of a social media approach to doing this. The others have been around for quite some time, but still very important to the market. And I'm not even going to attempt to lift the lid on text mining, which could transform so much of what we're doing. The idea that you have a pool, great pool of text of different places, you scan out across it and you look for links, you look for commonality. Again, when that linking's been done, your user can navigate across that content, can make those connections. And again, this goes back to how you're choosing to put your content out into the market too, because if you've got a predominantly static delivery model, a predominantly PDF-based, for instance, delivery model, all of these things are going to be that bit harder to achieve. Mobile optimization, some studies going on around this at the moment. We have a very small number of books available as iPhone apps. Great that we've done that. It's been very successful. Something, again, you may not be geared up to doing, but you can get third parties to work with who can get the content packaged. It's a variation of the EPUB format. You can get it up into the Apple App Store, and you're away. Amazing route to market, amazing route to a broad user-based market, and one that's going to be increasingly important in many parts of the world. I've just recently been in China. The China market is geared to mobile. It's going to be completely mobile. As a matter of fact, I was offered a fake iPad for 200 quid while I was there. Managed to resist that one. But just goes to show this is a booming part of the business, not something we can afford to ignore. In my view, something that we should regard as an offering as standard. Thank you. Almost finished. Retail, I mentioned Amazon briefly. Offering via e-commerce more broadly, and this could be chunking, chapters, articles, pay-per-view, pay-for-access. The idea of the widget's an interesting one, that you've got a device which allows you to experience a book. It's a brilliant marketing tool. I've mentioned the Amazon example, there are others, some quite sophisticated ones. The user can navigate through the book content, can explore the book, experience the book. You get to set how much of that content the user sees. And again, it's the question of giving away a little in order to gain a lot. So the sales that you'll get on the back of that, and there's no doubt about this, the books which are available via Amazon search inside sell much, much better than the ones that aren't, even though you could argue, particularly for certain content types, that the user can just jump into what they want and get it for free. It's a bigger game than that. I'm about to run out of time. I've mentioned Web2, I'll mention it again very briefly, something that we need to be doing more of more quickly. And if so, it might just look like this. Thank you.